So, Hare Krishna, I want to introduce yourself for the sake of the devotees out there.
Hare Krishna.
Come a little closer, yeah. Yeah. Tell them what your name is. And
my name is Bhakta Razvan Bogdan. I'm from Timișoara, Romania.
Okay, so let's go ahead. What would we like to talk about?
I would like to ask about consciousness. Which would be the definition of consciousness, and what is the relation of consciousness with the soul?
Consciousness means awareness. The fact that you're aware means that you're conscious. And awareness is the symptom of the soul, awareness of itself, awareness of other things, which unconscious objects don't have, like this table doesn't have consciousness. But I have consciousness. So, and Krishna consciousness means that stage where the consciousness is developed to its original state, because consciousness gets covered, or it allows itself to be covered by the influence of matter or ignorance. Matter isn't ignorant, because ignorant is a state of consciousness, but matter's state of unconsciousness, of not being aware of itself, when the soul identifies itself with matter, then it also takes on this quality of being unaware of itself or its identity, and therefore regaining its original consciousness is a process of awakening. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it like the opening of like from a seed to a sprout and a flower. And so the fully awakened stage of the soul is Krishna consciousness. That's when it's conscious of itself and also of God and its relationship with God, so that fully developed stage of consciousness. And it's inseparable from the soul. There's no consciousness without soul, and no non-soul or is conscious. Wherever you see consciousness or awareness, however slight it may be, that means the soul is present.
How is it possible that even if in quality we are the same with the Lord, with Krishna, still we can become contaminated by the material energy, if in quality we are the same with the Lord?
Because in quantity we're different. Because we're small. And because we're small, and on top of that we have our free will, so we can embrace a wrong identity. We can identify ourselves with matter. That's in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Kurukshetra Maharaj asks how, if the higher nature, Krishna says, aparyamitasvanyam prakriti vidimi param, that the soul is para and matter is apara. Matter is apara. So how can something that's inferior influence something that's superior? And so Shukdev Goswami says that because of the small nature of the soul, it embraces the identity or identifies itself with matter. So it can become overwhelmed by the large influence, the illusory influence of material energy, which makes it then identify with temporary material body. Just a second.
I read in Srila Prabhupada's book Mukunda Mala Sutra in text number 23, it says there that if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. And I want to ask which is this final goal and which is the aim of the mind, the goal of the mind.
The final goal of mind is to attain loving service to Krishna as a Supreme Person. And unless that's there, no one, either they know how they may be spiritually advanced or they may be religious, they'll never really be satisfied. Because their soul hasn't, their consciousness is not fully mature or fully blossomed, just like a flower is not satisfied by being half open, it needs to be fully open. So the same thing, that soul is not conscious, not satisfied, unless it fully manifests its potencies. So that's referred to several times. There's a phrase in Srimad Bhagavatam that says, Jinatma supersedati. He said, this can satisfy the self. So he says, what is that pure devotional service? Jainatma supersedati. And unless, because the soul is a servant, and unless the soul is engaged in service, it's not satisfied. But it needs to be engaged in the ultimate service in order to be ultimately satisfied.
I read in the Nectar of Devotion in Chapter 1 that a person who is not trained in Krishna consciousness cannot become completely free from the desire for sinful activities. Can we expect that, doing service for many years and many lives, in the end these desires in the mind for sinful activities can disappear, or should we tolerate the these sinful desires?
You have to. They will disappear. That's what Lord Chaitanya teaches us. Chaito darpanam arjunam, is that the heart becomes purified, and that's the only way to be satisfied. Full purification of the heart. Chaito dharpana marja. But that purification of the heart takes time. And in the time that the heart becomes purified, which may take 10 years, 20 years, whatever, it may take 50 years, in the time that the heart becomes fully pure, you have to learn how to tolerate the influence of those vegam, bacho vegam, manasukrodha vegam. So one has to remain tolerant. And the strength to remain tolerant comes from spiritual practice, good spiritual practice. If one's spiritual practices are not good, neither do they purify the heart, neither do they give us the strength to tolerate.
We can read that Krishna is the cause of all causes, and somebody might argue that in this condition he should be the cause for our suffering. How should we respond to such a problem?
He's not the cause of our suffering, but he's the cause of that faculty that allows us to suffer, which is he's the cause. He gives us our free will, which allows us to act in such a ways that then we will suffer. So people will say, well, why does he give us free will? Why does he make us in such a way that we don't suffer? And then we always choose to decide the right thing. because that takes away from the very voluntary nature. If we don't have free will to choose as we want, then we don't have free will to love him either. And love has to be based on that, both on the lover, ourselves, and especially for him. Krishna is not going to value our loving him if there's no alternative to it. In other words, that the alternative is not to love him. But when there is the alternative not to love him and still we love him, then you're a real lover. If you're just a manufactured lover of God, that's not love. There always has to be an alternative. So, like a man loves a woman, and she may not be the most pretty woman. She may not be the best cook. And there may be so many pretty women and best cooks and so many others around, but despite that, he loves her. Then the woman will appreciate that and love him, because she knows, well, he could get someone better, but still he loves me. That increases her love. If there's no alternative, then it doesn't invoke the same type of sentiments. So Krishna always wants those type of loving sentiments that are the most. He always wants to bring out the most out of everyone and everything, because he's like that. He's rasavaisa. He always wants rasa. And he always wants the most of rasa. And therefore he gets the most when we always have free will and we have the choice to either be away from him or not. So we suffer because we make wrong choices and we get sinful reaction. But if he didn't give us that free will to suffer, then the complaint would be that we don't have a choice. So people complain, you're brainwashing your children by giving them Krishna consciousness when they're young. Well, either one way or another, people are complaining or criticizing. Okay, let's... Now you have to do the Hungarian version. But he's got it written down, so you can just read it from there.